Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Man, we're good. I wanted to get kind of a, and it doesn't just have to be about the Cowboys, but a philosophical NFL question for you. Is we were talking about the potential of, you know, reinforcements with CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Booker not going on injured reserve, Kalen Carson saying he hopes that he can practice in theory, Maffa, Mingo, Peyton Turner being eligible to come off IR, same with Revel. Do you feel like that could potentially be the cavalry coming in, or because of the nature of the NFL, are you like, that's great, but in the meantime, unfortunately, probably other people will get hurt?
that's good. And they will get hurt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but look at it this way. For the majority of those guys, let's take Mingo and Revel, for example, okay? Mingo at least been to training camp, right?
Yeah.
And he's practiced.
Yeah.
I was talking to Revel yesterday, and he reminded me it's been a year since he played football. So while physically he may be ready to start practicing, you know, it's going to take a little bit of a ramp up time since he's basically not had a helmet on since the third game of the college season last year. So, you know, I would temper, I mean, I think he can help them, you know, once he's ready to play, but I don't know that, you know, he goes out there on Wednesday and plays on Sunday. I don't
Jerry
think that's
Jones
gonna happen.
Is really pushing that hype level, though, Mickey.
Well, no, I know. and because physically he's ready.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and if this didn't happen, I think he would have been one of their somehow, some way, top three, no less than top four cornerbacks out there. And he would have been playing. But unfortunately, you know, they're going to have to get him ready.
Yeah,
and by his own count, because normally guys go, "Yeah, I'll play tomorrow."
Yeah,
and he was being realistic, and I think him being realistic as a rookie, he's listening to the trainers, so that's where he's getting that from. But yeah, I think that, you know, Kalen Carson, at least he was in training camp for a while before he got hurt. That certainly helps, and I think, you know, Jerry talked about, you know, they got Clowney coming. You know, he played 26 snaps, 23 snaps, something like that. And, no, not bad. He didn't, you know, break up the game, but that showed some promise. So maybe with another week of practice, you know, he helps you. And then the other thing, remember, if you want to put those guys in the 53, somebody's got to go.
Right.
So there's a, you know, there's some moving parts there. But I think if you, and I don't know if we touched on this yesterday or not, but I think if you look at the level of play of some of the young guys on Sunday night, I think you had to be encouraged, right?
Hmm.
I mean, weren't we all going, oh, geez, they got to play Brock Hoffman at center and TJ Bass
yes.
at guard, right?
Yes.
And you're going, oh, what could be worse? Well, here's what could be worse. Guyton goes out with a concussion, and Nate Thomas comes in, and not only did they rotate him in at right tackle knowing that at times Terrence Steele has trouble in pass pro, right? And that if that became a problem, they had him ready to go in and play right tackle. And he did. I think he had a series maybe or two there. And then Guyton gets hurt. And this young kid who hadn't played a football game since 2023, a real one, went over to left tackle and played and did a nice job. So they've got some young guys coming on. Ezeraku, I thought that was his best game. And I bet he gets more snaps. They played Leofile, they played Shamar James. So they got some young guys, and, you know, they're not going to all be instant contributors right when they step on the NFL field as rookies, but give them a couple games, and, you know, you got to be encouraged by that. Now, the rest of the guys, you know, we know, I don't need to point out defensively, they got to get better. But you can't go out there playing defense and allow the offense to convert 11 of 14 third downs and the only fourth down attempt.
Yeah.
That just, you're going to get beat by that if you can't get off the field.
Overshown, though, is going to be back.
And Overshown at some point.
So don't worry about that, Kevin.
That's
still probably a month away.
Yes.
Right?
It won't be before November.
Yeah. And you know, and everybody says Thanksgiving. Well, okay, you know, they practice once before Thanksgiving after you play on Sunday, right? So if he's not ready to play on that Sunday before Thanksgiving, he's certainly not ready to play on Thanksgiving, right? And you would have to be ready a week before that Sunday before Thanksgiving to think that, you know, okay, he's ready to go. But that certainly would help out the linebacker position. And it's good that James got in there and got some snaps and get his feet wet because he's, you know, we saw it in training camp at times. He's got some athletic ability out there to make plays. Now he's just got to get confidence to be able to go out there and do it.
I'm not sure, Mickey, how, like, where we stand with Miles Sanders, but the...
That didn't sound good.
Does that mean, okay, does that lend itself to Jaden Blue getting his first opportunity? And does he help on special teams, too?
I would think so, and that's one of the things I think they've been concentrating on with him, because if you're going to be, a backup running back, well, you got to do something else. Well, maybe, you know, he's the second guy out there on kickoff return. And you know how they were trying to hide that in I formation back there and then let Turpin be able to go one way or the other. But if you have confidence in him to catch the ball and hold on to it, you know, that gives you another dimension. And it gives you another dimension on the offense to be able to put that speed on the field along with Turpin at the same time. So my understanding was he was the last one to become inactive. He was that close on Sunday to being given a uniform for the game.
For James Houston, would you like to see more snaps for him? I'm not saying like, hey, he needs to be out there the whole time, but he's playing like maybe about a quarter of the snaps. It seems like he's had some impact. Would you like to see even a slight uptick for that?
I would have to see him improve in the run game.
Okay.
I think that, you know, when we've seen him, he's flashed you know, with his pass rush and things like that. So he ended up playing 22 snaps, so it was 27%.
Okay.
But yeah, he also helped on special teams, so he helped there. So that's a good thing. But again, if you keep an eye on sometimes in against the run, he gets caved on the edge, and he's got to do a better job of setting the edge against the run.
I know there's not an exact equation for it, but again, your general football philosophy, what's the potential trade-off that you would allow for, this person is maybe not so great against the run, but they're one of our better shots to like get pressure or force a turnover? You know what I'm saying? Like, I accept your premise for sure.
Yeah.
What's kind of a general trade-off that you would accept?
I think you have to be careful on how many snaps a guy like that gets.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of like my analogy is if you got a second baseman getting 200 at bats and he might hit 280, and if you give him 400, he might hit 225.
Okay.
So I think
spotting
him.
But what's his OPS, Mickey?
Yeah. what's OPS? I forgot.
Stop it.
So, you know what? When they put all those slash things in baseball, I need some acronyms to go with them, right?
Okay,
there's so many.
We actually were kind of having a conversation about that. We will work on that.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that, you know, he'll earn some more snaps, maybe more in, you know, pass rush situations. But, you know, that's kind of where you're going to probably use Clowney more. You want Sam Williams out there in those situations. And it's almost like they got too many pass rush specialists and not run down defensive ends. I think that's where DeMarcus Lawrence separated himself from everybody, that he was one of their best run defenders as a defensive end. And those guys got to be able to set the edge and not let the ball bounce outside. And, you know, there as well as I think as Raku played, there was a couple times he got caved in.
Yes.
And he didn't hold the edge.
Yes.
And so you can't get pass rush happy. You got to first make sure that, you know, if it's an either or, you better take the or, meaning you better stop the run and not get pass rush happy.
Yeah, yeah, and that's happened multiple times throughout the season to start with Ezraku. Hopefully he's, you know, develops and grows and learns there. So what you're saying, though, is that they need like a Myles Garrett type, you know, one that can do everything.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. You know, the Packers didn't ask Micah Parsons to play every down because they know, you know, he at his weight and built, you know, he could be a liability against the run on the outside. He's a pass rusher. And a really good one. And it certainly helps when somebody misses a block on the goal line that he can run free to the quarterback on second down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, which was another thing. You know, I know there's the discussion on going for it on fourth down in overtime. If you go back and look at the first three plays, each one of those, they had a missed block on the offensive line.
Mm.
And it didn't seem like that happened that much during the game. But at that sequence, you know, if your play caller's sitting there going, well, I don't know, what just happened? We just missed that block and then that block and then that block. Do I go for it on fourth down with the confidence that they're not going to miss another block?
Right, yeah.
And I'm sure that probably entered into their mind in the discussion of, you know, going for it or, you know, and maybe winning the game or going for it and maybe losing the game.
I conceded yesterday, Mickey, just because I would have wanted it to look different on fourth down. It does not mean that it necessarily would have. I will absolutely concede that point. All right.
And I think good on Schottenheimer, because I thought he called a great game, right? And
sure.
He even said the third down call he didn't like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, unfortunately, you don't get a do-over until the next game.
Exactly. And luckily, you get to go up against a team next that has won no games. And we've won one.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a road game, and they haven't won a road game since last year.
Oh, okay.
Man. But they did beat Carolina, so.
We'll get the hype train for that going tomorrow. Mickey, thank you very much. Good sir.
All right. Good talking with you.
Bye, Mick.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we told people this was their opportunity to express themselves for their triumphs, their stumbles when it comes to fantasy football. From the 254, I'm 4-0 and the only undefeated team in my league for the first time ever. Just let me enjoy this. That is from Hayden. Congratulations, Hayden. I hope this week is fantabulous for you. Man, this is some really intense language that I'll skip. Tucker Kraft and his complete lack of spatial awareness screwed me.
Oh.
I lost by 10 points when he should have had two touchdowns. There is a lot of other spicier language surrounding it that is not entirely suitable.
An F word, maybe?
For radio, yes.
All right.
Yes, and the B word and a whole lot of other words. From the 803, I don't know where that is. I had a double-digit lead and scored 122.5 points, only to lose to my opponent who had Dak.
That dude, Dak, Pickens, Jake Ferguson, that trio was fantastic.
Can you imagine, what if you had those three going into Sunday Night Football and your opponent's like, ha, ha, ha,
oh, I got you. And then a guy in our league had all three of them. And we always give him a hard time because he does this every year. And we're like, dude, come on. And then they got to throw. They got to score points because that's the Cowboys right now. I'm undefeated, Kevin, 4-0.
Oh.
The only thing that's going to beat me is probably a bye week.
Is there?
I'm going to have to sit some players and throw some new ones in.
Okay, weird question, because I know it all comes down to like 0.01 and everything, or this person right here said they won by 0.86 points. Have you ever seen a tie in a fantasy match?
Yeah, in our league, if it ties on your starting roster, then it goes tiebreaker is your bench.
Oh,
we've had a tiebreaker on the bench before, and then it's penetrations.
That is not true. That is not true. That is the old way they decided Texas high school playoff games. And if you think I'm making it up, look it up. From the 214. Oh, no, I lost Neighbors and Hill in one weekend, but I'm still undefeated. Let's celebrate now and not worry about what the future should look like. 4-0 this season, coming off the championship. They have yet to dethrone the king. That might have been a text from Corey talking about the Eagles.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Stop.
That is the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Case Stop or not.
It. Spell it out, Corey.
And this is, of course, the most brutal of them all. I'm third. We can spell your name. I'm third in total scoring in a 12-team league, and I'm 1-3. That's the one I feel like we see the most that is always heartbreaking. That and the person that lost by like 0.62.
Yeah.
My heart breaks for them every time.
It's awesome whenever you have the fifth most scored points and the least points scored against, and you're sitting at the top of the
league. Oh, that's me. You're the person in the league that everybody else hates right now.
Yeah, that's true.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
Good luck beating me, though.
Right here on 105.
You haven't yet, punks.
Three the Fan. Coming up next, more of Corey's trash talking, perhaps his friends, but also time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus just run the clock out, man. Next on the Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan now. It's a great day for Connor McDavid. I get it's probably a really good day for Kaprizov with the Wild, but I'm still bitter about the Rookie of the Year race from several years ago. But he signed an 8-year, $136 million extension. The $17 million per year breaks the all-time record, which was $14 million average annual salary per year of Leon Draisaitl. So I can't even imagine, is Connor McDavid, I guess, going to get $20 million a year?
Wow, he'll be paid like a quarterback soon, huh?
It's moving in that
He's
direction.
Like, screw it, just give me 60.
But by the time they get that quarterback, so they had 100 million. So, you know, we're the KNC masterpiece. I already said that. So right now, it's time for this.
What
I did.
This button do? Please, please do not push the button. You have no idea what it.
Alec, you be quiet. Alex, that was awful.
One for Alex, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, learn to just run the clock out and take your L in silence.
Said every high school beat reporter ever.
That's right. We're going to get to a high school football story in Alabama that has an odd Cowboys tie to it in just a little bit. But gentlemen,
I know this story, Alex. It's phenomenal.
It's amazing. And it's, I swear, as somebody who covers and broadcasts high school football, I can speak for everyone when I say enough is enough. Just run the clock out at a certain point.
Okay, all right.
We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But gentlemen, today's question of the day is going to be based off of why I wasn't here yesterday. I had a dental appointment. You know, just usual cleaning, but was getting something else looked at of mild concern as well. Everything's all right there. But I have learned to love going to the dentist.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, because I was terrified of the dentist as a kid, but I've been at the same dentist since I was a kid. So I think there is just like a natural comfort level there.
Do they still give you the little coin at the end of your appointment to go to like a vending machine and get a little toy?
No, oh, I wish.
Sorry, buddy.
My doctor might still do that.
Yes,
I don't know.
My kid's dentist does that.
That's nice.
Good idea.
But my dentist is a Tolo, too, so we talk a lot of sports and whatnot.
What's
after
up,
the
tooth
cleaning.
Man?
Yeah, Dr. Golding in Fort Worth. Shout out to you, Mr. Tooth Man, I guess. But it got me thinking, there's nothing bigger of a confidence boost for me than when I leave the dentist. You know, everything's okay. You know, like, they're like, you're clean, everything's good to go. And then, like, your mouth feels brand new again.
Yeah.
Just because they can do a better job of cleaning it than you ever could on your own. So you just feel good afterwards. Yeah. You feel nice and refreshed. So what is something that sucked as a child, but is actually really nice as an adult? 877-881-1053. Because I will contend that going to the dentist is not as bad as it was as a kid.
Ooh, that is a good
question. I got one.
Go ahead, Corey.
Thank you.
I don't know if you don't really need my permission, but
I don't know if everybody's going to agree with this. Cleaning the house. As a kid, I avoided having a clean closet. I avoided cleaning my room. My middle kid is just like I was as a kid. But now I love the house to be clean. And I just like, I enjoy cleaning up, making sure things are done. I want people to do their own crap, though. Like, I want you to pick up your crap. Mm-hmm. But I love whenever it's all done and I can look around the house and go, wow, you could sell this sucker right now. You know, people would walk in and want to buy this.
All right. I see one thing taking over the fan text, but I'm going to give you a different answer.
Okay.
Talking to relatives. Ooh. All right, so I really like catching up with like my relatives and stuff, but I'm pretty sure as a kid, I was like, this is an impediment to get to the cake or the presents or whatever. Because, you know, you'd see your relatives at like a birthday party or Christmas or whatever. And so now I really enjoy like the conversation is maybe like the lead thing as opposed to all the rest. So yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I like that because then once you get like to that adult stage of life, the conversations get more interesting You start learning stuff about the family that you're like, oh my God, never would have expected that. Or you just, you start hearing some of those secrets, you know, and you're like, whoa, okay.
Man, you're so right, Alex. So years and years ago when I was a kid at Christmas, I walked into the kitchen because we would always have Christmas Eve at our house. And my mom goes, where's your grandma? And I was like, oh, she's in the living room. And she goes, where's your aunt?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, she's in the living room. She goes, alone? You need to get in there. And I went in there and they were both sitting on like the couch and the love seat as far as possible to the outside. And it was dead silent.
Each one of them was clasping a toothbrush that they'd sharpened into a shiv.
Oh, no.
I don't.
They were getting ready to.
They were very old.
What?
So I don't think that was the case, But
they knew how to sharpen one.
I had no idea, and I just went in and I was like, hey, grandma, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't, like, process it until later. I was like, oh, man, there was, like, a long-term simmering family feud that I found out about later that was crazy.
Man, my takeaway from that, Corey, Kevin just said old people can't be resourceful.
Mm. Look, if you're going to tell me who am I going to get stabbed by, I would be more surprised if I got stabbed by a 75-year-old than a 30-year-old.
Hey,
if that is ageist, I apologize.
I'm going to write down 11:30 a.m.
Dude, the 75-year-old has seen some things. That's the thing that, like, I'm like, man, they've been through something. They went through a depression.
No, you didn't. If you're 75, you did not live through the Great Depression.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
When were they 75?
In this older story. Okay. You know what?
They had gone through a depression.
You're right about that. This is fair. I will rescind
my previous statement. Go ahead and check another one for Corey here.
I will rescind that previous statement.
What an astute point by Corey Majors. Look at that. I feel like this segment brings out the best in you sometimes.
Thanks,
Corey.
Man.
I really do enjoy it. Thank you for the wealth of information that you are. But let's see from the 817. I wholeheartedly agree with this one. Mowing the lawn. Hated it in high school.
Oh, I could see that.
Whenever that duty got handed over to me, it's like, all right, you're driving and stuff now. You can start doing some of the heavy lifting. I actually enjoy it now. It's therapeutic to me. I really enjoy doing the yard work. And Kevin, you hinted at this. I've seen this a lot. Naps.
It's overwhelming, right?
It's overwhelming naps. And you know what? I don't think I disagree. Ever since I started the waking up at 5 to go to the gym before the show, I realized, that gives me about like 3 o'clock until dinner time to do whatever I want. You know what I do with that? Nap.
Alex, because I do the same thing, 5:30, 5:25 every morning. I get one nap a week now. Never nap. I'm a terrible napper. But sometime in the week, I'm going to be so tired that I have to lay down for 20 minutes and get that knocked out. I always wake up feeling worse from a nap, though, but I have to close my eyes. I don't know why I feel sore after a nap. Maybe while I'm asleep, somebody's beat me up. Who knows? But like, I'm
is
always...
Is that really what you
I don't know the answer. That's why I said maybe, Kevin. But I have to get at least one in. My wife, however, she has to nap 2 hours a day, I feel like. Or otherwise, like, she's going to turn into a... something terrifying. I'm guessing. I don't know. But every day I'm like, you have to nap? She's like, dude, she can nap at 9:30 too. And then she's like, okay, I'm awake. And then she's like, I'll go back to sleep in 5 minutes.
Okay. I'm glad that you said that. Yes, I know. PJ Washington. Ooh, topical. So how far apart from regular sleep can you nap?
I on Sunday, I laid down at 4:30.
Ooh,
and I slept until
dangerous.
5, and I couldn't go to sleep. Fortunately, the Cowboys game went late.
Yeah.
But I did think to myself, I probably need this nap because I'm going to need to be up a little later tonight. But if it's after 5 o'clock, there's no way. There is no way that I'm going to take a nap.
And, like, sometimes I feel like the nap, it just makes you pretend for a little bit that you like caught up on your sleep, putting aside that there's no such thing as catching up on your sleep.
It's true.
But like you'll nap and you're like, I needed that 2 hour nap to catch up, but then it will impact future sleep where you only get like 5 hours or I don't know how long every individual listening to our show sleeps. And you're like, well, great. I just shifted that 2 hours around and accomplished nothing.
The absolute cutoff for me is 6 PM. After that, I cannot, it will impact my sleep schedule the rest of the week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If I even creep past 6 p.m. And it's going to be bad. And I won't do my best job at anything outside of that. I depend on my sleep. I'm like a bear at this time of the year. I really need that sleep. Mm. Or you're going to notice the performance, the energy isn't quite going to be there. I try to get that at 8 hours every night. And it works. It really does. It's underrated. From the 682 haircuts. Agree with that one because the confidence boost.
I can see that. Yeah.
And I'm not as worried as an adult because I get to pick my barber. I get to pick my haircut.
You know what? That's a great point because the adult and the level of confidence you can get from a haircut, even like going back to high school, I felt like the confidence level is pretty high.
Walk
that's
outside,
when I had hair.
The sun's shining on your hair, the wind. My oldest wants to go get a $60 fade. And I'm like, that's no.
What if he's going to pay for it?
Do you think that he's going to pay for it?
which son?
The oldest.
I could.
The one that had a job and quit for whatever reason.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I need to talk to you about something off air.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Man, didn't it sound like I'm fired?
Yes.
Like after this segment, I'm fired. Coming up next, Gridiron with somebody else.
Yeah, bring your iPad. Turn it in the playbook.
Oh, no. Is that my notebook? Yeah. I have to turn in my notebook?
Yeah, that legal pad, bring it. And speaking of football, gentlemen, former Dallas Cowboy and NFL player Sherman Williams is now the head coach. He's a Mobile native, coaching a high school in Alabama. And you know, especially these pro athletes, their confidence and their ego is unmatched. Mm. And I respect it in a lot of situations, but not in this one. Well, it looks like this team is now 0-6 on the season, so you can kind of tell that they're still figuring things out with Coach Sherman Williams as the head coach of the program. And their losing streak has reached 18 games. You're like, okay, well, they need to figure out a lot of things. They lost to Williamson High School on Friday in a game where they lost 100-0.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, that sucks, right? Well, the reason the score ran up so high is because they were offered a running clock at halftime. And Coach Williams said no.
Why?
By the way, at halftime, they were losing 73-0.
Yes.
So it's not like the other team poured it on in the second half. It was over.
Yeah, and the fact that the reserves came in and were scoring points because they had the extra time to play with because they were stopping the clock.
Did you see what his team has been outscored by this year?
I have not.
I believe it is a total of 308-12.
Yeah, that's not good.
What are they doing?
Well, they're losing games by an average score of 51-2.
They're not playing good.
They're not. Except the running clock, and that can help you tighten it up.
Always say yes to the running clock.
Agreed.
Yes. Makes everybody's lives better.
They don't bring it up in a competitive game.
Exactly.
No one's like, it's a tie. Yeah, Let's go to a running clock.
If they think you have a shot, they're not going to say, you know what? Running. No, you're dead on. Kevin.
Yes.
Nobody's bringing it up if you have a shot.
And in the wise words of Mike Bassick, it's over. Just go.
Yes. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. We're going to switch it up.
Dare you.
And go around the NFC East next right here in The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to do things a little bit different today because we're still going to have Gridiron Gravy. But technically today, we're going to go around the NFC East as part of Gridiron Gravy. Always choose your own adventure. Would you like the Eagles? The Commanders, the Cowboys, or the Giants to start this off.
Kevin,
you can still play the music if you want.
This is very simple. We do this all the time. Whoever's leading the division gets the first billing. That'll be...
What a shock, Alan.
Okay.
Corey picks the Philadelphia Eagles.
The sky is blue.
What else is new? To be fair, Philadelphia has won 20 of their last 21 games. And I still don't think, Alec, you referenced this earlier, they're still not playing their best, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. That's one of the things. Saquon Barkley's not doing a lot.
Man, he really isn't.
He's providing me just enough points in fantasy, but, you know.
Okay.
Because he was my number one overall pick. Because he was the best running back last year. That's why. A.J. Brown basically shrugged his shoulders and quietly withdrew, I'm guessing. And somehow their defense is, I mean, it's given up, what, 20-something points a game? Like, it's not like it's shutting everybody down. Somehow they're still able to win. This is a very, I don't, but Kevin, that's the question I'm going to have is, does that mean that that's just how good they are, or are they sleepwalking through things right now?
Unfortunately, I think that's just how good they are, because that's the overall picture, right? So, like, if you dive in, there's very specific things happening in the Eagles where they're just, they're on point. Take Quinyon Mitchell, for example. What has been one of the rookie stories of the season? Emeka Buka, right? Well, Quinyon Mitchell was matched up with Buka 22 times. They got six targets for Buka, 2 catches for 6 yards against Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
So, like, overall, it's still not the best. But there are elements of this team that click, click, click. Like, for example, let's go to Jalen Hurts. When the game was, it felt like still in dispute, because that was a weird game because the Eagles got out to a huge lead, then Tampa made a comeback and all of that. He started the game 10 for 11 passing, Jalen Hurts, that is, for 98 yards, and the Eagles had an 18-point lead. So, like, when it mattered, he was really clicking. But here's the wild stat about this. In the second half, how many passing yards do you think Jalen Hurts had?
This week?
Just this week. Okay. No, just this week.
Zero.
That is correct.
I remember. I wasn't just guessing. I actually knew that.
Zero. He became the first quarterback to win a game with 8 or more passing attempts and 0 yards in a second half since Jake Delhomme in 2008. And it's just those two quarterbacks since 1991.
Which is one of the reasons that A.J. Brown posted that post.
Yes.
Hey, look, man, I know I'm downfield. I know I'm open somewhere. Why aren't you even, like, using me in any way? But it just seemed like Hurts bailed so quickly. Whenever he would have any pressure in his direction.
Yeah.
Immediately he'd bail and take off running.
That's just wild to me. That is a wild statistic. By the way, not that it ended up mattering, but Chase McLaughlin for the Bucs ended up kicking a 65-yard field goal in that game, one short of the NFL record and a Tampa Bay record. All right, you want to go to the Commanders next then?
Sounds good.
Does it?
They're the next team in the division, aren't they?
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
They're 2-2.
All right. I was just testing to see if you were
sure.
We're
1-2-1.
That's right.
The Giants are 1-3.
The Commanders look vulnerable in their secondary. So we talked about how Michael Penix set a career high for passing yards.
Yep.
He was 5 of 8 on attempts over 15 yards in the air. Now, we're going to get back to why that is so crushing against Washington. 5 for 8. Going into this game, he was 1 for 19 in passes of more than 15 yards in the air.
Oh, wow.
And so...
He either they're bad or he found something.
Do you think it probably...
A combination of both.
I feel like that's usually
the
answer.
Something that he feels comfortable doing. You know, Dak is real comfortable with the blitz and single high coverage. They do something that he feels comfortable attacking.
Yes, yes. And so that's potentially really, really bad for Washington. Another sign that you can offset with being without Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. They were 1 for 8 on third down in that game. Now, that feels a lot more palatable than the Penix thing. Because, like, you're without your quarterback, your primary wide receiver. I get it. That's obviously going to slow down the offense. I go back to the defensive thing, though, and you're like, I don't really know what that would have fixed with our quarterback and wide receiver.
Yeah.
All right. And then you look at the defense. I'm going to go back around to them in total. They gave up more than 400 yards, and Atlanta's offense scored on 6 of 10 possessions. So just keep an eye out on that. When Daniels and McLaurin come back, and it should be soon, like those are not viewed as long term. You could probably see them in the next game. But that could be an issue for them.
Yeah. Maybe Dan Quinn was like, you know, I lost that Super Bowl for Atlanta. I owe them. So I'm going to send out not my best defense. Maybe that's a possibility. Or maybe Dan Quinn's defense is susceptible to certain things at certain times, too. From the 817, so what you're saying is that Penix is on the rise.
Yes, yes. Especially that Atlanta news station or whatever. All right, let's go to the Cowboys. And we will talk more in depth, I think, about Dak Prescott tomorrow. But he now has 2,901 career completions, passing Troy Aikman for the most completions in franchise history.
Dude, he's going to own all of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jake Ferguson, he has seven catches in the last game for 40 yards. His 34 receptions are the most by a tight end through four games in NFL history.
Wow.
The block on the point after attempt, which we will talk about that probably in depth tomorrow as well, on Brandon McManus by Wanya Thomas. Brandon McManus had made 93 straight extra points. That was the longest streak in the NFL till that block and then the return by Marquise Bell.
Oh, this is a special player. Makes special plays. You know
absolutely
what I mean? And you've said this about Wanya Thomas for quite some time. Get that man on the field.
Oh, is this going to be my Mets opinion?
This is
where I was right, but I was just too early.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
I like it.
Let's talk about the cowards at Scoregami, who finally posted this morning that 40-40 was a Scoregami. Good job. But also, it was combined for the... Yeah, that's right. You got all these followers.
I got a question.
Give the people what they want.
I got a question about this, Kevin. You, do you know all the Scoregami options out there that exist?
Not off the top of my head.
So you need Scoregami still.
I disagree because you showed me a site that had that giant chart.
That's Scoregami.com.
All right, I need the website. I don't need the Twitter account because their database is fantastic. I'll concede that. I just want whoever's running their Twitter account to get more up to date.
Do you go check Scoregami every time you think it might
be? I follow Scoregami, yes. I was like, that's got to be a Scoregami, especially when Tirico's like, oh, it's the second highest tied score game of all time. And I was like, that's got to be a Scoregami then. And they posted about like the end of the 325 game that was 27-21 or I don't know, whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, no kidding. Thanks for telling me that wasn't a Scoregami.
Dude, what if he was having a baby? Scoregami guy.
Do you know how many followers Scoregami has? They don't got an intern.
I don't know how much money they make monetizing that thing.
We will look into it. I think that Scoregami is more than a one-person option. By the way, the second highest tie in NFL history, it is only behind the Boston Patriots and Oakland Raiders, who tied 43-43.
All I can see is this building that has like Wall Street. Everybody's in there in ties. They're making calls and they're like, was this? Yes, this is enough.
And there's a little ticker coming out like that.
They're just waiting. It's only like one score every few weeks. You think Scoregami's really running a business like that?
Yes. I don't know how. It's not my job to know how to monetize that, okay? It's my job to take advantage of it for free. All right. I will admit that. Hey, Scoregami.
Thanks, Scoregami.
I love you. I feel like in this one, you let me down. All right. Somebody hit a parlay with Jackson Dart being the last part of the parlay, and they won $1.1 million.
Wow.
Now, this was not a $5 rags to riches story. They also bet $75,000.
Okay.
So you're probably willing to guess that maybe this person has a lot of money if they're willing to just make a $75,000 bet. But they did hit the parlay for $1.1 million. Couple more quick things for you. Andrew Phillips, he had an interception for the Giants. We've moved on to the Giants. Setting up a touchdown, he only gave up two catches on seven targets and two catches for 10 yards. He stepped it up. Jackson Dart, first quarterback since Tim Tebow to record a passing TD, rushing TD, and 50 yards rushing in his first career start. And he joined Daniel Jones as the only Giants rookie since 1950 with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown. Hopefully for the Giants, he follows the exact same career trajectory.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Matt Hicks What do you think it's going to come up?
Scorigami.
Oh, or maybe Scorigami next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.